Pokemon and all once again to Dowildon for the week of February 2nd, 2015. I am joined this week by Daniel.
Hello.
And Martin.
Hello.
So yes, we are in a weird predicament because we've only taken 1 week off last week, but we're also like 3 weeks behind on news because we did our Game of the Year show recently. So we'll try to cover the big stuff, but before we get there, I guess we should check in to see what we've been playing recently. And, I mean, just as an aside, I know you folks have been playing new games, but I really do feel like January was the month of the remasters, the re-releases. Mm. Between Grim Fandango, Resident Evil HD, the three Wii games on the Wii U. There was a lot of games that were, what is it? What's old is new again, as they say. So, I mean, if anything, it's the best month to do it because everybody's coming off that Christmas high. But, yes, just start with Martin, because you've been playing a game I'm really kind of curious about. Life is Strange, or the demo of Life is Strange.
Yeah, Life is Strange. It feels, at least at the start, it feels a lot like a Telltale adventure game. I mean, what Walking Dead is, or somewhat similar to the stuff David Cage has been making, like just walking around, talking to people, making decisions and dialogue, that kind of deal. But then they introduce this time rewind mechanic. So you basically have the power to at any moment, I think you press L2, and then you can basically rewind time and do over decisions that you made, and that way influence what happens to you or to other people around you. Some decisions seem to be vital that you make the right way, others are like, however you feel about it, you can do them. Can't say too much where it's going, since the demo is really short. It's like 20 minutes or something, tops. You're just some girl in high school that starts out at like a weird lighthouse and then wakes up in her photography class. And apparently hasn't done her assignments, then wants to wash up in the bathroom, and then you there see a scene in which a male student is distressed, and then a female student comes in and bothers him, and then he pulls a gun and shoots her. You know, like high school.
As you do.
It seems cool. What I like is it actually looked better made than what Telltale does. I mean, it's actually running on Unreal Engine. The only thing that kind of bugged me was that the lip syncing was kind of bad, but that's not going to break the game, I feel like, for anyone, or for most people at least. It seems cool. I think I will play the whole thing. But despite me being a hypocrite and actually buying the season pass for, what was it called?
Life is Strange.
No.
Oh.
The last Telltale thing.
Oh. Well, it depends because there's two of them. So Game of Thrones or...
Game of Thrones. Yeah, Game of Thrones. Why am I not thinking of it? Anyway, Game of Thrones. Despite me getting that, I think I will rather wait for Life is Strange until the whole season thing is wrapped up and then just get the whole thing. I feel like then with this decision making in the sense of that you can actually change stuff, it would probably be better to play it all in one go. I can see myself like not remembering what I maybe did and stuff like that. I think it should be a better experience to have it all in one go. But yeah, it seems interesting.
It seems like that's how like most people have started treating these whole episodic things. It kind of defeats the point, you know? Like, get it all in one go.
Yeah, the problem for me... problem for me is if it's a TV show, it's just 1 week apart. But here I looked it up, and it's like 6 weeks is what they are planning between episodes.
They have a schedule.
They have a schedule. But
that's
6 weeks
is
still a long
over
time.
Other people. Yeah, that's an improvement over most of these, though, because a lot of them it's like Telltale's like whenever, like oh yeah, Game of Thrones episode 2 is out tomorrow. And we remember the Sonic one, which was two years apart.
The new Resident Evil thing will be episodic, and I think that...
Or Valve, 7 years.
Well, to be fair to Valve, it's more like they film a, pilot and then never get picked up, because they do like episode 1, and then they stop, and then they go back and try it again. But yes, I mean, I do agree with Martin. It is, you know, like we call it episodic, and I do think at some point we do need to standardize what that means. Because when you say episodic in TV shows, you assume that means it's a weekly thing. Yes, there's hiatuses and breaks, but for the most part, you don't get one episode and then don't wait another 7 months for the next one or something like that. Or even if you want, you know, comic books do it where it's once a month, so you can even do that. But like 6 weeks, if that's the standard, make that the standard and probably find another term for it other than episodic.
Well, I think the problem is that when you, like, when you have a TV show, it's all done. So you just
That's not true either, because TV shows aren't filmed. I mean, TV shows are filmed as the season goes on. It's not like they film them all at the start and then they throw them. Like, TV shows, like, you know, like American TV shows, I guess, would be a better example, because you folks, your show smacks out like 10 episodes, ours go 22. They film up until like April if they end in May, so it's not like they finish and then they all put them out there. It's just that, like, things, you know, TV, like movies, tend to have a kind of rigid production. Like, we kind of know what you have, like, okay, so 10 days to film this. If we don't get it in 10 days, we're cutting the scene, and then we're moving on to the next episode. Where video games still don't have that kind of standardized methodology in creating games.
Hmm.
But at the same time, there's nothing to stop them from creating the game and then chopping it up into 5 equal pieces over a month or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what they did here, but I feel like 6 weeks still... a bit much in between. If it was like 2 or 3 weeks, I would probably not mind.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on the other side, you could basically just wait until all the episodes are out, because it has been getting good reviews, and I've been curious to check it out.
And usually waiting for the end, you're not really missing out.
And you save money as well.
Often by the end, you get a sale for the whole thing, so...
Sometimes even before that, I remember people were really upset with Game of Thrones because the season passed on sale like the week after or something like that.
Yeah.
And you kind of have an idea, because there's a couple of these I've heard from like Telltales where a lot of people enjoyed the episodes, the first few, and then by the end, like the story petered out, and it wasn't as good as a conclusion as they expected. I think I heard that with The Walking Dead season 2, for instance. Okay. What is the other game you've been playing?
I've been playing Dying Light. I didn't really plan on buying it because the demo I got to try at Gamescom didn't really impress me all that much. But then that weird GameStop error happened on the US website, and when you bought the $20 season pass for the PS4, instead they sent you a code for the full game. So I did that. And for the $20, I really don't feel bad about it. It's I think I tweeted I would not have bought it at full price, and I still think I would not have bought it at full price, but my impressions have improved of the game. It's pretty much Dead Island, but less clunky and buggy. With the added benefit of having a really well implemented first person parkour traversal. I think that part they really got down pat. It's really cool. It's really fun to clamp around all those buildings, trying to avoid the zombies that are Because they're mostly on the ground in the streets and not on top of buildings. They sometimes are, but it's like they are few and far between. It's easy to deal with them. My main gripes with the game were starting out, I didn't think the combat was that much fun, but after you get a couple of stamina upgrades, it's not that bad. It was like you do two swings and you're already out of stamina, or your weapons degrade within like 5 hits or something, and that was more annoying than hard. It's just that, oh, my weapon is degraded again. Great, I have to repair it, or I have to find another thing. And now I'm at the point. Though, if you play like me and do a bunch of side quests, now I'm at the point where most combat is trivial again. Because I have all these super highly upgraded weapons, and one swing kills like 3 zombies and stuff like that. So, But overall, I think it's really fun. I just wish they wouldn't take themselves so serious. The story starts out so dumb. It gets a bit better, but it starts out so dumb with you just being dropped into this city, and then they say, yeah, you're here on this mission to get this file with a potential cure. Okay, that was all the setup you had. And then you meet the runners, and they live in the tower, and they all run around the city parkour-like, because they have a leader who was a parkour teacher. And that whole setup just seems so dumb and ridiculous, and they take this shit so seriously. And now, later on, I had this weird episode in which was more like a fever dream, because your character right at the start gets bitten and you have some symptoms of the disease. And then there was this weird monologue by that one character about life and death, and it all was so self-serious and was just super dumb. I hope that Dead Island 2 will get that part down better, because they just don't seem to take themselves as seriously from what I've seen. And I also still think that from what I've played of Dead Island 2, that game seems to have less clunky combat. This combat is a bit better than what I played from the first Dead Island. I didn't finish that game or anything, but it's still a bit clunky.
Fair enough. And this is out on PS4 and... Is it Xbox One as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Xbox One and PC. Okay. PC version has some issues, is what I've heard, though.
Huh, shocking. It's like everybody just half-assed their PC ports nowadays. I'm going to say nowadays, and that's been going on for a while.
Well, but, it happens...
What I heard is that apparently if you have an NVIDIA card, everything is fine, but if you have an AMD card, you have issues.
It's a weird time. It just seems to happen. Seems to happen whenever there's a new console generation. Anyway, where we've got 8 gigs of RAM in the new console, so let's just not bother making it. So we optimize our games as well, you know. So it should get better over time.
Yeah. But overall, I think it's a good game. I would probably, if I had to rate it right now, I would say. It's like a really solid 7 out of 10, probably. So, not a bad game at all, but I wouldn't say, like, get it at full price, wait for sale.
That's what I was planning on doing anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. Although, I think after that, I'm definitely just going to look at Dead Island 2 more. As much as I don't like Deep Silver.
Mm.
Yeah, see, I'm just getting confused. I forgot, because you keep saying Dead Island. I'm like, I'm sure there's been a second Dead Island, but this is one of those...
Dead Island Riptide. Yeah, it was
it's not quite a second one.
And then there's Escape from Dead Island, which is a kind of spin-off.
And then there's Die as well, which is the MOBA Dead Island.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I'm sure there was a Dead Island 2, but yes, they have several other ones, and then they have Dead Island 2, so that's where the confusion came. Okay, and I'm pretty sure we had this discussion. They announced it at E3.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But
yes.
Yeah. But Dead Island 2, like I said, when I played at Gamescom, it also looks promising. And I feel like Jaeger probably will deliver a quality product as well.
Well, they do. They do most of the time, anyway. So
yeah.
Okay. Just real quick, since we're talking about demos and stuff like that, before we get to Daniel, even though he's famous as well, Nintendo released the codename Steam demo on the 3DS eShop this week, which is really nice if you want to wait. I guess the game's out in 2 months for us and 3 months for you folks, or something like that. I don't know.
Europe gets a Nintendo game last. Oh, that's a surprise.
To be fair, I think you get it before Japan gets it later, too, I think.
Huh.
It's weird. I think it's because it's a very Americanized game in the sense that, like, your main recruit is Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. and it's heavily voice-acted as well.
Yeah, and it has a very, it's steampunk, but it has a very comic book style to it, which is another kind of American genre. But yes, going into this, I mean, I kind of had an idea what to expect, because they went on and on about it at E3, but going in and actually playing it, for the most part, I'm going to say I enjoy it, but I'm going to start off with what I think is probably the biggest negative thing about the game, and I think Daniel has the same complaint, is that you have to sit through and watch the enemies turn every time.
Oh my god.
Which I understand what they're going for, but sometimes it's like you sit in there for 2 minutes, because the way the game's set up, you can only see what your characters can see. So if they can see the enemies, you can see them moving. If they can't, you just kind of get a point of view of your characters and a relative, okay, something's moving in the distance,
And there are some times where the camera is oriented toward, like if you're standing and your character's in cover, all you see is a box, and it's like, oh, that's real helpful. I love staring at this box. Thanks, video game.
So yes, and then sometimes it can go for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, because there's a lot of enemies on screen, and you have to watch all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna use watching quotes.
The worst thing about it is the bar. It says aliens turn on the top screen, and below it there's a bar that sort of indicates the progress of, like, the aliens turn, but it's not accurate. So it could be like 30%, and then all of a sudden it'll be 100%, and it's like you can't even tell me how far through the turn they are. Like, why?
Yeah, I think because they assume. Yeah, it's weird. I get what they're going for, but
it's
wish there was
a good. It's not a good experience.
Yeah, I just wish there was a way to speed it up. Like, you can. I get it. I have to see them because you don't have a map, so you kind of want a relative idea of where the enemies are, which I'm okay with. But I don't want to sit here and not see them move for 2 minutes. So just give me a chance to, like, double speed it or something.
Well,
there should
be an option where it only shows you once they come into a character's sight.
Oh, wait. Well, so they show you, in quotation marks, turns even if those enemies are out of sight,
yes,
or behind the
You just
the
stand there looking
war.
At a box. If
yeah,
you
pretty much
see the enemies. It's ridiculous.
Yes,
have these
really
people not played XCOM?
I think, yeah, it's really.
If you played XCOM, it's like if something is behind the fog of war, it just says enemy turn. You don't see anything.
But
it just happens, and that's it.
We're talking about Intelligent Systems, who made a small game called Fire Emblem that allows you to just skip that.
It's true.
Well, I mean, that's different. That's different as well, because you have an actual map there, so you have an idea of where they are after the turn ends. Here, I think they're trying to simulate, okay, like, you know that there's like five enemies in front of you on the left or something like that, because that's where the camera seems to be focused, but you have no idea where they are, so you just have so I get that. I know where they are now, thank you, but there's nothing for me if I'm sitting here really like, okay, is it my turn yet? Is it my turn yet? Is it my turn yet? And all I want is an option. I don't necessarily need an option to skip it. I just want something to speed it up.
Yeah.
I want to kind of know that they're not doing anything of importance. There's some enemies who can only attack you when they're nearby. So if they're not nearby, I don't really care to see where they're going to, because they can't do anything to me.
Do we know if that option is there, just not in the demo, maybe?
No idea, because you can't change the options in the demo.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I mean, aside from that, I really like the game. It's a different type of strategy game than like Fire Emblem, as Daniel mentioned, and I guess even Advanced, what is their other one called?
Advanced Wars.
Okay, here we go. I was about to say Advanced Warfare, and I'm like, that's not it. close enough.
I've seen of Project Steam, it looks a lot like Valkyria Chronicles. Codename Steam, sorry.
Yeah. And I think that's the comparison a lot of people make. It has some similarities and some differences. The thing with the demo is that a lot of it is basically just a tutorial, so you don't get a full party until, like, the very last mission. The good thing is you can kind of go back through to other missions with your full party and stuff like that. So when you get those characters, it does open up a lot of different strategies. Like, there's one character, the Lion, who's just called Lion, who can kind of, his ability is he can leap onto high things, so he's a great character if you want to get vantage points of the enemies and stuff like that. And then you get the hero, which you don't have for, like, the first three or four missions, which really does make them a chore because, okay, I guess second minor complaint. One of the abilities in the game is called an overwatch, and this is kind of like if you planted yourself or an enemy in a position and somebody crosses their field of vision, they will automatically attack if they have the ability to. If you don't know which enemies have or don't have that, a lot of times you just kind of like, oh, I'm going to walk up closer to them to get a better shot, and you end up walking into their overwatch, and then you get stunned, and it's like...
It's also a problem where if you don't know what allies do and don't have it, because I was like, the second character you get is a guy who has like a mortar, and I was like, I'm going to plant this guy up here so he can overwatch the enemies whenever they... and then they just get rained on whenever they move. No, he doesn't have Overwatch, so that was a waste of time.
Well, to be fair, the game actually does tell you he does not have an Overwatch.
It doesn't.
When you get him.
Does it? I must have skipped it then, because I didn't realize that he didn't have it.
Yeah. It says he... And if
it's weird that Overwatch is not a general concept in the game, because usually games like that, like XCOM...
Yeah.
Overwatch is just a general thing that every character can use.
In XCOM, the way it works is if you say you plant an ally in cover, you can tell them to go into Overwatch. And then that takes up their turn, but it means that they will automatically shoot anything that moves in its range. Which is how I prefer it that way, to be honest, because a mortar guy in Overwatch is far more useful to me. But, yeah.
But I was going to say that they actually do tell you who has Overwatch and who doesn't. If you look at their weapons, I don't know if you've played the full demo and unlocked other characters. There's a little... next to their weapon, you'll see a symbol if it has an Overwatch or not.
Oh.
I think the only one in the game that doesn't right now is the Bear Grenade. I mean, some of them, like the... I think there's like a Med Mortar, and that's not an Overwatch because that's a healing thing for your partners, and that doesn't have Overwatch either, but I wouldn't expect that to... You don't want to heal the enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah, they specifically call out the fact that he does not have one when you get him.
I must have just completely skipped it then.
So yes, I will give them that. Because I thought the same thing. When they say he doesn't have one, so I always use it. So basically how Overwatch works, I guess from the hero side, is you have a steam gauge, and your movement is tied to that. So like, if you have 8 steam gauges, you can move 8 squares in any direction. Or you can use, depending on your weapon, you use different amounts of steam. Like the main character, John Henry, John Henry's the Bear Grenade dude. But his ability uses 4 steam. So if he has 8, use 4, that's half of his, and that means he can only move 4 in any direction.
It's an action point allowance system.
But the thing that really kind of got me that I had to get used to was, like, in the sense that it splits the map up into a grid, so it works out how much steam you use to walk, but it's not actually grid-based. Like, you can move your character slightly to the left, and they get slightly different view on how and whether they can shoot or not. It's kind of awkward in that sense, but yeah. And the cool thing is if you walk 4 spaces forwards and then walk 4 spaces backwards, you are refunded the steam that you use to walk forwards.
Okay.
Yes.
Unless you get hit by Overwatch, and then it uses the steam up. Obviously for both.
That makes sense.
But it uses up steam for any action you do. So, like, if you walk up four spaces and you shoot somebody, you can't go back and use those spaces. You move forward. Or if you break a crate or something like that. So any actions will negate any of that. But until that point, you can kind of get free reign with that steam, which is really great for collectibles because it doesn't make it tedious. Because you can go get coins or get the gear and then go back to the starting point and find a better place. Or, like, say you come around an enemy and you find, like, oh, this isn't a good vantage point, let me try the other side or something like that. Because some of the enemies, because it's a video game from Japan, have a giant pink weak point, and if you, you know, certain weapons do big damage if you hit that. So you want to sometimes find a vantage point behind them or something like that. Or, you know, like, there is frenzy fire, so you don't want, like the big grenade dude, you don't want him to launch a grenade where your teammates may be in range of getting hit as well. So, there's a lot of strategy in that, and then there are a few ways to redeem your steam while you're playing. If you go to any of the hint systems, it will automatically refill the steam for that character.
Really? I didn't know that either. I must have skipped that as well, because...
So you don't go to the hint machine?
I don't need to know how to play this game. I played XCOM, and then, and I was just ignored all the hint machines, yeah.
Yeah, if you go to them, it will refill your steam for that character, for that turn. So that's a great thing to do to kind of... Like, sometimes you'll plant yourself in front of it, maybe get off a shot and then check it, and then you get refilled again. And then there's other ones. You can break crates, and sometimes you'll either find, like, heart packs, or you'll find, like, little steam pickups, and that will also refill your steam. And at the end of your turn, any extra steam you have will be used for Overwatch for certain... characters, and you can also switch their weapons in between that, because some people have, well, everybody has a secondary weapon by the end of it. Some of them are healing items, and some of them are actual, like, the bear grenade dude gets a bolt action, not a bow and arrow, but the other thing.
Crossbow,
yes, he gets a crossbow, and that doesn't do much damage, but if you hit somebody in their weak spot, it does a lot of damage, so that's always good. And he has Overwatch for that, so if you want him to have something with Overwatch, you can equip him with that, or you can even with the grenade. It doesn't seem to, like, be any penalty between switching weapons, so I don't see why you couldn't just use his grenade and then switch him to the one that has Overwatch at the end. And I think it costs, yes, I think it's only 2 to shoot instead of his bear grenade, which is 4. There's a lot of strategy involved with that. And I guess going back to another pet peeve of mine, the enemy designs in this game isn't that great.
No.
They all kind of look the same. There's, like, the only ones I know the difference from are the tiny ones, the ones who have to run up to you to hit you.
Yeah.
The ones that can shoot from a distance kind of all look the same to me. Because there's one that kind of has, like, a... There's ones that have, like, full frontal lasers, and then there's ones that kind of lob grenades at you, and they both kind of look the same. It's just kind of a random view alien design. It's not that great.
And especially in a game where you really have to be knowing what you're actually facing before you playing around. It's kind of weird that they didn't put more effort into the enemy design.
I'm sure by the end of it you'll figure it out, but yeah, it was like, oh, okay, it's a blue blob. I know I have to kill it, but eh.
But more importantly, what is it going to do to me? And I can't tell.
Yeah. Does it have an Overwatch ability? I get why they don't put, like, oh, okay, it has Overwatch or something like that. But it would be nice. Especially being that certain characters can't get in range of certain enemies if they have Overwatch. Like, the bear grenade dude, his grenade can't go far enough if an enemy has Overwatch. So if you try to get into range, not only will he be knocked down, but they can also stun you, which automatically ends your turn with that character.
Actually, I find it funny when they stun the first character you get, because it's like, okay, I'll just end the turn, and then he gets Overwatch. So
you're gonna
screw yourself over on that one.
Yeah, Overwatch is funny in that regard, in that, like, if they stun you, keep all your steam, but you are fine to go during the next round, so if they come in contact with you, they will be shot. I was actually kind of interested as well, because I, you know, the first character, the storyline kind of revolves around Abraham Lincoln recruiting people. I was surprised to find that almost every character in this game is actually a fictional character and not, like, a person from history. Because John Henry... who else? It's John Henry, it's... Is it really from Peter Pan? Tiger Lily, yes. And it's Ryan from, I think, The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's a fun game. It has some hiccups that I hope they iron out. Mostly that I don't want to sit there forever and a day waiting for the enemies to take their turn. It also reminds me of the other thing. There's random save points on the map. It's one use. You can use it once for permission, and then it will go away. But you can also use your coins you collect. Like, you can just use it to save, or you can use it to refill the player you control. Or you can use it to refill everybody on the map, and this also revives any of your teammates who have been defeated.
It's actually really helpful, but the revive for all your teammates is really expensive. It's 200 coins, which is a lot.
It seems to vary on levels, because I've gotten anywhere from 150 to 250. I don't know if it's based on how many characters you have, or...
It might be, actually.
Yeah. Speaking of, at the end of a mission, you're also given a score. Because the objective of the game, of any stage, is just to get to the finish line, like to get from point A to point B. So they have par, so for instance, a map will have 8 par, which means you have to get to the end within 8 turns. You also get points for the amount of coins and enemies you defeat, and if everybody makes it out alive. So based on those various stats, you'll get like a markup at the end, and you'll get a bonus. And it's not in the demo, but I believe that the coins and stuff you get are used to enhance your weapons and your characters in the actual game.
Huh, that's interesting. Because it means that if you have to rescue everybody in the mission, then you sacrifice maybe an upgrade afterwards.
Yeah, I also believe, and this is something that I appreciate, they've done this with their 3DS demos before, but I believe you actually unlock stuff in the final game with this as well. I don't know, I think it's a weapon and some of your coins carry over, which is always nice. Anything that stood out to you, Daniel?
One thing that you didn't mention, and I was playing a mission, and I was just in front of the end, and then the game spawned enemies behind me, and I was like, are you still doing this, Intelligent Systems? Please, can you stop?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they have to take turns, and if you're near the end, they probably wouldn't have caught up with you.
No, I mean, it's just the fact that, it was a pain in Fire Emblem, and it's a pain now.
The thing I do find funny, though, is that the enemies have the same limitations you have, in that they can't see you if you're hiding behind cover. So, there was one time I was down to, a single character, and none of the enemies could find me because they didn't know where I was, and they just kept on running in circles. Eventually, one of them spotted me, and once kind of spots you, the rest of them can kind of easily figure out the direction you're in. But it is kind of neat that is the element, and that if you can go through a mission mostly stealth, and enemies won't really be any the wiser because they don't know where you are. And there's some environmental strategy as well. There's one stage that has the miraculous exploding barrels. And then I think stage 2 has the chandelier you can use to defeat enemies. So if you break it, it will defeat anybody who's underneath it.
Yeah, I like the, and not only that, if there's just stuff in the way, and you happen to have the bear grenade, you can just blow it up, or jump over it sometimes. It's really cool.
Yes, I do like the iron jumping ability, because I'm pushing enemies.
There's a cool ability where, I don't know if you figured it out, but if you go up to an enemy, you can just kick them, and you can do that to friendlies as well. And there was one point where, I think the bear was in the way, so I just kicked him, and he was out of the way. It was really cool.
I did not know that, because you can get stuck behind people.
Yeah.
Because if it's a narrow space, they take up that one space and you can't get around them, which is a problem.
Yeah, if there's a space behind them, in the direction that you're kicking them, you can kick allies and enemies, and it doesn't do any damage to them, but it will move them out of the way for you, which is kind of cool.
Nice. Okay. What else have you been playing?
I have played Saints Row Get Out of Hell, which is... I don't know, I have mixed feelings on it. It was nice to play. The most fun I had actually playing that game was not doing what the game wanted me to do. The premise is that the boss of the Saints gets sucked into hell, so Johnny Gat and Kinsey go after them. And there's some weird plot line where Satan's trying to get his daughter married to the president, and then you have to rescue them, and you get wings, and you can just fly. Not fly like in Saints Row 4 where it's just gliding, but you can just fly throughout the entire city, and it's really fun. The controls are really good, and you go like fast enough that you get a nice rush from it, and you can just fly around collecting all the orbs with ease, and it's great. And then you go to do, and you think, oh, well, I'll just do what the game wants me to, because, you know, there's an objective here for a reason, and it's just go here and do this activity, go there and do that activity, now go here and do this activity, and it's like, it seems kind of a waste. Well, they just sort of made a world, copied and pasted some of the activities that were in Saints Row 4, and they were like, yeah, we're done now. There's not even a soundtrack to it.
But I mean, to be fair, this is an expansion DLC.
Well, this is the thing, is it's a $20 expansion that sits on its own, so if you want just a small dose of Saints Row 4, but don't want to buy the full game, then you can just buy that, I guess. Although it obviously helps if you're a Saints Row fan, because there's a lot of old game references and stuff in there. And that's why I have kind of mixed feelings about it, because it's not fantastic, but at the end of the day, it's not trying to be the best thing in the world, because it's only $20. And I didn't feel ripped off, I guess. I have 96%, and I finished it in 6 hours. I got 96% in 6 hours, so it's a decent amount of time. It's more Saints Row 4, that's all I can really say about it. It's not anything radically different, although I wouldn't be complaining if they made it so you could just fly in every future installment of the series, because it's fun. I also played Toxic, which is it's in early access. It's a basically Unreal Tournament clone. It's an Unreal Tournament clone right down to everything. All the weapons are basically the same. The game feels the same. The art style is kind of more futuristic and clean, more detailed. But aside from that, it's the same. And at the moment, there's only one map. But I would keep an eye on it, because it feels really good to play. It looks really cool. And if you're somebody who's been missing arena shooters lately, then you're going to like it, because it is good. And I also begrudgingly shelled out on the Phoenix Ace Attorney Trilogy on 3DS, because, I don't know, the things I do to keep telling Capcom that I want more of these games is ridiculous.
Aren't there still some to be ported localized, I thought, or...
there's one that never got localized, and there are two of them that aren't on the 3DS. So of the six Ace Attorney games that did get localized, four of them are now on the 3DS. And the Ace Attorney Trilogy is nice, because obviously if you haven't played them, then there's no better time to jump in and play them. The art is higher resolution, because they took the iPad version's art. The music's not as good, I find. It's better than the DS version. There's some little things that are missing, and the localization still sucks. There's still spelling errors and grammar errors all over the place. But, you know, they're good games. It's, what, $30, I think, which is kind of overpriced if you ask me. But if you haven't played the games, it's worth it, because they're really good. If you're into, like, funny Japanese things, I guess, then you could do a lot worse. But aside from that, they're not all that different from the DS games. And if you want Japanese, there's also they include the Japanese versions of the games for some reason. I don't know why. So, yeah.
Okay. So that will bring us to the news, and it's been a very, 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 very newsy week. I guess we should start off with the one that kind of has everybody seen coming for a while. Sega has announced another restructuring. I mean, they kind of went through this a few years ago when they said they'd focus on Sonic, Aliens, Total War, and something else. they seem to pretty much be cutting out their American branch.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of 300 jobs. They're focusing on Sonic as a media brand. I don't know how.
Well, the last time that happened, we got Sonic Boom, so I don't know what that's going on. Well, that's about.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what got them
into this problem in the first place.
I've heard good things about the animated series. It does well, but like if I don't think you can use the Sonic Boom brand in gaming because it's been so poisoned with the Yes one, and the comic books are comic books. They don't sell as well. But yes, they're focusing on Sonic as a brand. And their focus is going to be on PC and mobile gaming now?
PC online gaming, to be specific.
Well, this is the thing, though, is because when Sega says PC, what they mean is Creative Assembly and Relic, and those companies don't make bad games. But
the other thing for me was, when I again read that, it's like, oh yeah, we are going to focus on PC online gaming. Meanwhile, Phantasy Star Online 2 is still not out in the West.
Yeah, that's a problem. And I would play Phantasy Star Online 2.
A lot of people would play Phantasy Star Online 2.
I don't know.
And it's even out in English. Just saying.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And this is the reason why Sega's in this predicament in the first place. Because they can't... They don't sort of commit enough to anything. Like... Oh yeah, we're going to make a Sonic animated series and we're going to make a video game to go with it. And they made a video game to go with it and it's like the worst Wii U game out there, apart from maybe Meme Run, you know?
I'm sure there's a lot more.
I would say Sonic Boom's worse because Meme Run didn't cost $20 million to make.
Yeah, it's also kind of sad. Well, not necessarily sad that they lost their jobs, but yes, a lot of... folks at Sega of America, Big Red Button, have lost their jobs. I know a few from social media who have been let go of after like a decade there. And it always sucks there somebody lose their job, especially when it's 300, I think, something like that. Kind of jumping ahead, it's also coming in the wake of Joystick closing down and losing 150 people. So there's going to be a lot of people in the industry looking
for
home.
Joystick employed 150 people?
I don't think it was Joystick alone. I think because Joystick was part of the AOL thing, and as part of their... Because they're consolidating Joystick into the... I forget what the AOL channel is called. But yes, as part of that, they're using 150 people. People tend to report it as one figure, but yes, there are different avenues included in that. Because I don't know how any video game site would help maintain 150 staff members. I don't know what you would do with that.
Like maybe CBSI, but... That's because they have Giant Bomb and GameSpot and a couple of others.
And I feel like one of those... I feel like they're going to merge at some point.
Nah, it doesn't look like it. I wanted to say one more thing about Sega with the downsizing. It makes me wonder how many games you will actually still see... Sega games that are developed in Japan actually come outside of Japan with this downsizing.
It's
weird, right?
I think what people were kind of curious about is that they just bought Atlus last year. And what does that mean for Atlus? Maybe Atlus can become their organization branch, but at the same time, it really does not sound like Sega has intent of making a lot of games to localize anyhow.
Yep, exactly. Like, what I forgot to mention in the beginning, a game I've been playing, which is Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is fantastic. It's also from Sega.
Well, I feel like Puyo Puyo Tetris is a different beast.
That has some different licensing issues. I know. Yeah. But maybe with some forward thinking,
Sega could have
figured something out.
But this is the thing, though. It's like, if Sega had any brains, they would have not let Ubisoft get the Tetris license in the West.
Well, I feel like it's probably something that was... It was probably... The Tetris license, I imagine, is... The Tetris license is just really messed up. I imagine that they probably licensed it to various different companies for different regions.
There are two factors here, not just the Tetris license, but also that Sega is super dumb and basically doesn't release any Puyo Puyo games in the West.
But yes, I've heard great things about that. I've heard sales have really skyrocketed since the Giant Bomb video.
Yeah, it's a great game, and the combination of those two games is just so clever. It's just probably the best Puyo Puyo and Tetris game, both in quite a while.
Tetris game. No. Yes, that's all you want, so it's not much competition.
Even if you just want a Tetris game, this is probably the best Tetris game out there right now.
Oh, it has to be better than the Ubisoft. I can't believe, I still don't know how you screw up the Tetris game, but they somehow managed to.
Yeah, they managed.
So I have to give Ubisoft credit for that. I mean, that is impressive work.
Impressive in some way, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a good way, I just said it was impressive. But yes, I'm kind of curious to see, I think Capcom's the only one. I'm kind of very curious to see about the rest of Japan, because it's
Capcom
really...
Capcom is another case. We should talk about it, and we can combine it with the announcement of Dragon's Dogma Online. Which
yes.
has been announced, there is a trailer, there's screenshots, it looks cool, it's coming out on PC, PS3, and PS4, and it's free to play, and online co-op, which is what everyone wanted for the first Dragon's Dogma. And what does Capcom say? We have no plans of releasing it in the West.
Well, I don't know if Capcom's even capable at this point, because what is, you know...
Yeah, but that's another case. It's like, we are already afraid of Sega not bringing anything out here. Now it's Capcom as well. Does Sony now have to bank everything?
Well, I mean, if they got the money. But yes, I mean, because it's the same thing with Square Enix, who announced that they currently have no plans to bring Dragon Quest Heroes over to the West. Or they're looking into it.
And this is the crazy thing, is like, it's the way it's supposed to work is over time, Japanese publishers and developers realize the value of the West more. But instead, the opposite is happening, where they're just going, no, we're hurting too much. We can't afford to actually localize this game. Sorry.
Well, I think both those problems are related to the same core, is that a lot of Japanese developers were kind of stung ass-gen with porting over games that didn't sell well, so now they just kind of stick to the brands, like Resident Evil's coming to the West because Resident Evil sells well. Square will never even Final Fantasy, they're never going to even number Final Fantasy in Japan because that sells well, but stuff like, you know, like Bravely Default was a big thing, and that was Nintendo who fought that over. There's probably, how many Dragon Quest games are there on the 3DS that haven't made it over? Sega and Yakuza.
I'm sure it's just one that didn't make it over.
There's the Dragon Quest VII, there's the Dragon Quest Sign, there's Dragon Quest Joker.
But you were talking about 3DS, right?
Yeah, those are, well, okay.
Oh, no, DS. Okay, DS and 3DS. Okay, then the Joker titles, yeah. I don't know, the first Jokers came over, right?
I think one of them came over. I mean, again, part of it was that they tried and these games didn't do well, so I don't necessarily... Okay, Dragon Quest X, that is on Wii, Wii U, 3DS, and no Western release. It's on PC.
Yep.
And there's no Western release for that.
Well, the thing is, apart from Sega's whole PC online focus, I can understand why a company wouldn't want to bring over an MMO, because not only have you got to localize an MMO, but you've got to set up new data centers and do a whole bunch of new testing. But, like, I don't know, I feel like more people were embracing digital on all platforms, and I just think that, like, it's still worth it, because, I mean, you cut out a big cost when you cut out the physical market. I mean, there are people that are too pompous to buy games digitally, and fuck them, you know? They're not... If they actually cared, they would buy the games digitally.
Well, I think...
I remember that the 8-4 guys, and they should know, because they work in localization, said on a podcast that a company like Square Enix not having the money to localize the game is kind of ridiculous. They do. And there are ways to localize the game cheaply. If you just do the text, and then, like Daniel said, just release it digitally. That saves you so much money that it's actually not really an issue to bring games like that over.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to tell you. It's confusing, but it does seem to be the trend that a lot of Japanese companies are going towards. It's like, we're going to make these games for the Japanese market, and nobody else is going to get them. I mean, we had the same discussion with Yakuza, even though what 4 just came out, or whatever.
It's an issue, like, with Japanese mentality again, with, like, them being absolutely risk averse. Don't take any risks at all. Last gen didn't work out for them in the West or anywhere pretty much. So what do we do? Let's get even more insular and don't try anything.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it kind of works both ways. We just don't hear about it as much because we're not in Japan. Because a lot of the Japanese games that come out are usually done by Japanese, like Call of Duty, GTA, even the like those are like it's like Capcom or Square Enix or whatever take that over and license it in Japan. So I guess they need to find somebody to do that here. And like you know, as an XC can only do so many games at once, and they tend to do the smaller ones because those are the ones that people kind of are hungry for. Where, like you said, it's ridiculous to think that Square or Capcom or Konami or Sega doesn't have the money to localize 20 of their games. You would think. Like, if Sega housed 300 people in North America, how do you not have an organization team that could do this? Like, it doesn't have to be a huge team. It could literally be 10 people. Maybe they have a major pipeline, but they should be able to, like, localize your games in a timely manner. And I'm sure Sony's doing what they can. Nintendo does what they can. I don't think Microsoft has any Japanese third-party games to care about.
Well, the thing is, though, is it's not the job of the platform holders.
It's not the job of the platform holders. It's not the job, but they do, you know, like, if there's a game that might work for their audience, they take, like, Nintendo has a really good relationship with Evo 5. We've seen, you know, Sony's bring off a ton of indie games. They've, you know, they've really made, like, Japanese indies a big part of their presentation overseas as well. So, you know, it's not part of their job, but they're doing it because nobody else is. The companies don't want to bring them over, and the fans get frustrated. And we kind of touched on Joystick. It was a really bad week for game media as well, because I think, what is it, Andrew Yoon from Joystick also died in a car crash this week?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, and it kind of goes into what we talked about at the start of the year with a lot of those companies just playing shuffle with their talent and people going from one side to another. It's like it's no longer, the news isn't important. A lot of people kind of lamented the fact that Joystick was one of the better voices in the game media, and I assume it didn't do well for AOL, so they're shuttering that. And you still get something at Kotaku, who posts random Japanese booth babe pictures and does well for Gawker. I guess on that same note of gaming becoming personality driven, we had word of Nintendo's YouTube program this week. It doesn't have a name. It's the Nintendo Creator Program or something like that. Essentially, if you sign up with this program, you can sign up for individual video or you can sign up your channel, and Nintendo will take 30 to 40% off of your cut of your YouTube money. Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Let's take the money from the work I do.
Yeah. You're doing advertising for us. Now you have to pay us.
Well,
yeah,
moving on. I feel like it's been beaten to death because we've had this discussion actually when they started doing this, and this is just the program they have to kind of make it easier for people.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it's a gray area. I mean, I think they're necessary in the right, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for them to pursue right now.
Nintendo has the right to do this.
Yeah,
but just because you have the right to do something, it doesn't mean you should do it.
Exactly. But I still think Let's Plays and stuff like that, it's all transformative work, and therefore they shouldn't take any money.
I don't necessarily agree with that stance, but like I said, it's what it is. And again, it's as far as I know, it's not a mandatory program. So.
Well, it is if you want to make money off of it, off your videos.
Yeah, well, if you don't go with it, you don't get any money at all. So how is that optional?
If I post a video with Nintendo content in it and I've monetized it, Nintendo will flag it and get it removed.
Anyhow, Okay, the Metal Gear Rising thing is really just confusing because that's been discredited as we're recording this by
it's
Jeff Keighley.
It's not really discredited.
He says that he spoke to them and that wasn't true.
Well, I think it's just worth saying that the validity of it is dubious enough at the moment.
Yeah, but the thing is that the two appear in an official trailer montage during a Taipei game show. So, yeah.
Who knows? I mean...
I watched the Twitch thing. I watched it again. It's there.
I'm just gonna say,
the thing doesn't exist.
Well, I'm just saying that right now, as of right now, it's been discredited as not legit. Who knows? But I hope this does not become a Team Real versus Team CG thing again.
It already has.
Oh, that was so stupid. Vita using features. I mean, to be fair, Vita using Nier, I still don't know anybody who knows what Nier is, so that's not a big deal. I was surprised to hear that they're using YouTube support.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I mean, if Google don't want to support the Vita anymore, that's fine. Just stop updating the app. It's easy as that, you know? And they're like, oh, you can use it in the web browser. Oh, I've been told that the web browser is crap, and I'll find out on Monday because I'm probably going to buy one.
I'm gonna buy.
I've been saying for months that I'm not gonna buy a Vita, and I'm probably gonna go out and buy one on impulse tomorrow. So you know,
I was actually gonna buy a PlayStation TV this week because it was only $60, and that's a really good deal. But I mean, the only Vita game I actually really really want to try is Persona 4 Golden because everybody keeps on talking
and
about it.
And it doesn't work on the TV.
That's the other one that I was interested in is Tearaway, and that also doesn't work on a TV.
That's the problem I have, is I would buy a TV, but I want to play Danganronpa, and that doesn't work on TV.
The US version does.
Yeah, but I won't be buying. You know what? I may as well just buy a Vita if I'm going to go, like, because I could get a Vita TV for £100 brand new, or I could get a 3G original Vita for £100 used in good condition. So,
I was going to make a bad joke, but I really don't feel like being enough on the Vita this week.
I'm just going to have to, I might just import a 32GB memory card, buy years of PlayStation Plus, and then just leave it, and never buy a game on it apart from Danganronpa.
Danganronpa.
And Danganronpa 2.
Oh yeah, and Danganronpa 2, obviously.
Huh? Oh, go on.
I was going to say, I might also buy the US Vita version of Virtue's Last Reward, because although I have it on 3DS, I don't like the Japanese voice acting. So,
I don't think we mentioned this. I don't think we had a show for this one, but I'm curious your thoughts on the Borderlands the Handsome Edition.
I already have it. Because I own the PC version. Okay.
I just groaned at another remaster.
The problem I have is we have a trend now of using the word remaster when what they actually mean is PC version on high settings.
Yep.
Or port. I was really confused because this doesn't include the first game, right?
It's the pre-sequel. It's the Handsome Edition because Handsome Jack was just in two games.
And the excuse that Randy Pitchford gave, and I'm going to call it excuse because that man does nothing but give excuses for things. The excuse he has is that, and I know this is actually true, that they significantly changed how the engine works between 1 and 2. So they would have to, whereas Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel are basically the same. So...
Which means
porting the first PC version would actually take work.
Which is why you don't see a lot of games before the PS2 generation. It's because that would actually take work to do. Where the other ones, it's like, okay, just up-res the texture and call it a day.
And they don't even have to do that for the Handsome Collection. They're just like PC version, high settings,
I think it's dollar. Trash. It's super lazy money grab bullshit. If you want to play them on high settings, if you have a somewhat decent PC, you can easily play it.
And the excuse is, oh, well, you asked for it on PS4, the pre-sequel on PS4 when it came out, and now
it's
giving
it
to you.
And
it's like, exactly. And the only thing I have is the third downloadable content for the pre-sequel came out the other day, literally the other day. And so we've got one left on the season pass. Now, it says in the adverts that it has the season pass content for the pre-sequel, but the chances are is this content is going to release after the pre-sequel comes out, so whether you actually get that last one included in the Handsome Collection or not is a different matter. That's the only thing that I'd be wary of if you're just going to go, yeah, I want Borderlands 2 on my PS4. Just be wary of that DLC.
Since we're talking about games that are announced, Lego Jurassic World and Lego Marvel Avengers Assemble was announced this week as well.
So,
more Lego games.
Two more Lego games. I already have Marvel superheroes.
The Jurassic thing was teased at the end of the last Lego Batman game, at least. There was like a thing where a dinosaur appeared in the credits of the last Lego Batman.
Well, they've gotten that far that they're teasing sequels now.
Yep. But I don't know. That could be fun. At least you will get to see like the Lego dinosaurs. I'm not sure what the deal is with Lego Marvel Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, I was confused because they're like, this one's more in line with the movie, but I'm like, Lego Marvel Superheroes was tied into the Avengers universe as well.
And the thing is like, I don't know much about the Marvel universe, but I was, while playing Marvel Superheroes, I was just thinking, you can't really put much more Marvel into this game. Like,
yeah, no, there was a bunch of obscure stuff in there.
You know, like, you can't really get any more Marvel than Lego Marvel Superheroes, so, you know.
It's really weird. But yes, this is out in June, and I think Lego Jurassic World is out in June, and then Lego Marvel is out at the end of the year.
I will say this about the Lego games, right? I do say you buy one, you bought them all the time, but you know what? If these are going to be the new movie tie-in games, then I'm not going to complain, because they're not bad.
No, they're not. And you don't have to play all of them.
Yeah, you don't have to play all of them.
I'm like, oh no, I'm in the mood again for Lego games, so I buy the one that appeals to me the most.
Yeah.
And then I'll have fun with them again. And then I'll take a break again.
Yeah, like, the last one I bought was, I think, Lego Marvel. And
yeah,
that was... And, like, even Lego Batman 3, I'm like, okay, I might get that, but later on, and it's like, okay, I might skip Lego Jurassic World, but, you know, I didn't buy the Lego movie, I didn't buy Lego The Hobbit or anything like that, so there's enough, and I think the licenses and stuff just make it different enough where it's like, it's not a big deal, even though, yes, there's a ton of Lego games, but yes, I do think Lego Star Wars is different from Lego Harry Potter, which is different from Lego Batman, which is different from my ultimate favorite one, which is Lego City Undercover.
I count that. That's like, although it is, yes, a Lego game, but it's not a Lego game in the sense that it has all the same gameplay mechanics that the others do. Not really.
Well, but it's to say it's made by the same company.
Oh yeah,
it's
I know.
It's just the only one that's an original Lego game. So it gets a lot more freedom with what it does, and I really hope one day we see a sequel to that. I doubt it because it was exclusive to the Wii U and probably sold like crap. I guess kind of to end, I don't know, Nintendo news. yes, just like Martin Ted said, Nintendo is closing down Club Nintendo. It's in the process. I believe no games released after the 20th of January, so about 2 weeks ago, will get you any rewards. And you have until the end of, is it the end of March or the end of June? To redeem them.
And if you're in Europe, you will notice absolutely no difference because Club Nintendo was useless anyway.
Well, I mean, there's been no major difference here either. They said that February they're going to add a bunch of new prizes.
What I'm saying is I'm just going to go on Club Nintendo now and tell you what prizes they have on there because, oh boy, this is a... Oh. You have not seen this, Owl. You have not seen this at all.
Oh, yeah. You folks don't get... Like, I mean, I have points, and I'm like, at worst, I'm just going to stock on a bunch of Virtual Console games, if nothing else, but you folks don't even get that, do you?
Right. So we have... Nintendo points cards. That's not for the eShop. That's for if you have a Wii and a DSi. not the eShop related, right? You can get.
How does that work on the 3DS? Because on the Wii, it makes.
It doesn't work on the 3DS.
Because I know on the Wii, I mean, if you used. Like, you can activate Wii mode on the Wii U. And you can go back, but like, the 3DS doesn't have like, a separate DSi store.
Nope.
So
you can buy DSi games, but that's with eShop money. You can't use it at all. And they've shut down all that stuff on the DSi anyway. So there's a DS Lite value pack. That's three revisions of 3DS ago and two revisions of normal DS ago, right? There's a Peach Relaxation set, which is like a towel.
That sounds really sketchy.
There are stickers. There are ringtones. There are wallpapers for your computer. It's just nuts. Like, this is stuff that's been there for ages, for years, and they've never changed it. And only rarely
because
do we get
no
something
one
good.
Wants that garbage.
This is the theme.
Well, okay.
I've gotten in the last 3 years or something, I've probably gotten like two things from Star Catalog. And one
festive gift wrapping paper.
One was this Japanese card playing set, the Hanabi cards or what are they called? I don't know. It's Hanafuda.
Yeah, Hanafuda.
Yeah, that's fun. That's cool card set. I really like that. And it's Nintendo themed, which is cool. And the other thing I got was, I think, soundtrack CD?
Yeah, the only things that I ever got from Club Nintendo were a 3DS XL charging cradle and two 18 game card cases, and that was it.
Yeah, it's really
I got a Game & Watch is what I got as well.
Yeah, it's been slightly different for us. We get the gold and platinum, so I got a few playing cards. I got the Majora's Mask CD. I have the Zelda and Mario 25th anniversary posters. I think the biggest difference between our two regions is we get games. So I got a few.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to get games. I would spend all of my stars on games, but they don't give us games.
So yeah, I've got Infuridity. I got Earthbound. I got Super Mario World. I got a few 3DS games, or DS games as well, so I've mostly used mine on games. So right now I'm crossing my fingers for games. This is what they have on the site right now for us. Dozens of downloadable games and a limited quantity of exclusive reward items will be added to their rewards catalog in February. Right now I am sitting at 1,390 coins. I have not really had any use for these things. I've always been holding them out. Because the one thing I missed that I was really disappointed was they had a Luigi's Mansion statue. And I
wanted
that
one we had as well, but I had no interest in that statue.
Yeah, but other than that, I've not had any reasons for it. And now that it's coming to an end, I'm like, okay, I'm either going to find something really awesome, or I'm just going to dump it on a bunch of Virtual Console games. Right now, yeah.
If you were to go out and buy a Wii U game, let's say Smash Brothers, how many coins do you get with it?
It depends, but roughly, I would say somewhere between 50 and 80.
Huh.
Because we have, what they did was you could do a intend to buy, and that would give you 10 bonus coins. Then you get like 50 or 60 to register the game, and then you get 10 for the post pay survey. So all in all, you get about 80.
It's kind of different to how it's done in Europe then. Because you have to do a survey, otherwise you don't get any. And it's like $250 a game.
It's weird because all of them are surveys, but like you get a intend to buy. Like, where do you plan on picking this up or whatever? Then you can register it when you buy it, and that gives you the bulk of the points. And it's like, where'd you pick it up? Why'd you buy it? What do you think? And then after that, they give you, which I really hated because I understand now because they're closing it down, but then they started giving you post-pay, which is like, oh, you register the game. A week later, you have to fill out this survey to get 10 points or you're finished. Like, I don't finish most of my games in a week, so why is this survey dated for next week? Because it used to be that you get some of these, and they would expire 2-3 years down the road, and that's when I would do them. So yeah, right now I'm 20 coins away from hitting platinum for the year. I was gonna get another account because basically what happened is I have a backlog of Nintendo points because I hit platinum and I'd stop doing it because you get nothing over it, and I had more than enough coins to buy anything that they put up there, and now it's just like, oh, now it's running out. I'm really kind of curious to see what they offer.
I don't have the most stars left. I think I have like 2,300 or something right now. But
isn't
that I hope they add something worthwhile for that amount. Otherwise, I'll just get nothing. I don't want stickers or some bullshit.
They should get you folks some of these eShop games.
Yeah, they should have. They should have done this years ago. But they, you know,
Our current selection of eShop games are Super Mario Bros. 2, Excitebike, Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, Super Mario Land, Donkey Kong, Wario Land 2, and The Legend of Zelda.
Stuff that I would buy. I have surveys that I have yet to do, and I have games that I have yet to claim, but there's no point if they're not going to offer me anything that's good and, you know...
But don't you want 2 golf balls? Lazily printed on them?
Well, I could get a Nintendo DS accessory case in pink.
I actually have a Nintendo accessory, a 3DS case from them that was free.
No,
but that was
not 3DS, though. This is the original design DS.
I don't know.
Pink.
Okay, what I'm hoping for as far as the end of this program is either, one, a way to convert your remaining coins into actual currency. I don't necessarily, it could be like something really ridiculous, like $100 for $1.
Yeah.
It's still something.
They won't.
That value. like I said, a cavalcade of Wii U and 3DS, 3D, eShop, or virtual console titles, or something that's just really nifty. Like, I don't care. Give me iTunes soundtracks or something. But yes, right now, the only thing that you have that you can physically get is the Mario and Luigi greeting cards, Nintendogs greeting cards, or the Super Mario Brothers, the Super Smash Brothers 3 poster set, which I think is actually kind of cool. But I don't know if any of you have seen my wonderful picture I put up this week. I have one thing on my wall, and that's it. I buy posters, I don't use them, so I'm not going to buy more. But I'm really kind of curious to see what they replace it with. A lot of people... Rightfully so. Usually, when somebody does this, you usually get something worse off because it probably means that the original was too expensive for them to maintain.
Yeah,
I'm hoping for something kind of like a roll and reward system where it's like, okay, let's say you buy Kirby. Let's not pick Kirby because you folks are gonna. Let's say you buy Majora's Mask 3DS, and so the next Nintendo game you buy this year, you get. Except you couldn't do it physically. I was going to say the next game you get like 10% off, and then the game after that you get 15% off, and then it kind of rolls over and over.
Don't you think it's a bit of a coincidence that they close the Nintendo and they close the Nintendo eShop premium thing down at the same time?
Yes. I will say this much. As much as I have kind of Nintendo, I really do hope that they uniform everything under one ID as well, because it's really annoying having to I enjoyed the Digital DX promotion, but it sucked that you couldn't do it on your console. It would be amazing if I could sign onto my console, like, oh, I have $5, just put it in my account. I don't need to download a code to input into my system. Just be like, click, okay, you have $5 in your account, you're good to go.
It'd be cool and if they just, like rolled that out as a general thing, like, even if they reduced the amount that you got back. Because I buy all of my stuff off the eShop, so I'd be rolling in it.
And they would come out and do it to the 3DS. Yeah, and that was one of the reasons I went digital on the Wii U for a while, because I got 10% back. That means for every game I bought, it was like $5 back, and that adds up really quickly. And now it's like it's another idea. I'm like, okay, I can get this at Best Buy for like 20% off because my game was on that program or whatever.
I personally bet a promotion like that would do nothing for me, because if I get the physical version for 5 or 10 euro less anyway, what's the point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it depends. I think part of it is just that you don't really expect. I think for me, the biggest part was that I got 20% off the eShop cards and 10% back. So I was saving a lot of money in general. Like, every game that I bought new was costing me like $38. And that was just a hell of a deal.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that here,
oh, yeah,
when
I
compare the physical prices of the Nintendo games to their digital prices, the physical prices are always lower.
Oh, yeah, and I prefer it because physical also has a better resell value because you can actually resell it.
Yep.
And just to kind of end the note, we kind of mentioned, I mean, this is several weeks old now, we kind of mentioned it at the end of our Game of the Year show as well, but I really wanted to talk about it at some point, is that the actual show we did, we mentioned that we were wrong about Microsoft putting the price back of the Xbox One back. And then, like, already after that show, they're like, oh, yeah, we made a mistake, so we're going to drop the price again. So,
we looked at our numbers, and they told us that it sold worse again.
And it's just like, damn right you made a mistake. Like, that would have been suicide.
So, yes, somewhere in the last 3 weeks, Microsoft has raised and lowered the price of the Xbox One back to the $350 that it was going for during this holiday season.
But it's, again, a limited promotion.
Really?
We are not telling you until when it's going.
That's fucking dumb.
Yes.
Can't they just be honest about it and say, we're not selling at the higher price point, now we put the price down?
But limited promotion sounds nice, you know? It entices sounds by rich. Now.
Yeah, I have to say, it tempts people now. Because it's like, oh, okay, when is this price going to expire? I need to buy it now. And it's a great mental trick in that. Because they, like, the last one was like January 2nd. This is going back up. That was an ending. This one is a limited promotion. One's, I don't know. So it's genius for them to kind of put it out there. I mean, it's a dick move, and I don't see them raising the price again. But I said that last time, and they did anyhow, so who knows. And Sony just kind of...
At E3 at the latest, the price, the $350, if not lower, will be an official price for the Xbox One. And I also expect the PS4 to go down by then.
Yeah, I was about to say, Sony just kind of exists. I mean, it's great for them because they don't need to do anything. But they really don't seem to have... They don't really seem to be in the news, good or bad, anymore. It's just like, oh, yes. I guess the order comes out in a few weeks and that's a thing.
Yeah, and Bloodborne comes out.
Well, in a month and a half.
Yeah,
or
two big titles for them.
I think what they're doing right now is they're just sort of keeping it quiet. So they can prepare for the Order, because if that game is going to be as divisive as it looks, then they're going to need to...
The commercial's out already, I haven't seen it.
They need to take this time to sort of just prepare, you know, to steel themselves for what's coming.
I also just think that they probably, again, want to, like, look good at E3.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about this off air. I'm kind of curious because some of the announcements I hear for them, it's going to be really curious about the E3 timing.
Yeah.
So, yes. For Daniel, Martin, and myself, this will do it for Dual Wielding. We'll catch you next week.